It's All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today, Sadaka's back. We're welcoming back legendary songwriter and performer Neil Sadaka ahead of his show Friday, December 27th, Hawaii Theater. Hey, Neil, welcome back. How are you, brother?
Dave, how are you? Good.
Nice to talk to you again, man. Thanks for doing this.
Wonderful. Yes, we've talked before, I think.
Yep, a few years ago when you were last year, and I was just thinking about that show, Neil. Now, is this appearance like that, you doing a solo performance?
I'm doing solo concert at the piano. It's very intimate. I feel like I'm in my living room playing for friends and family.
I remember at the last one, you're able to add some little stories too, because just like you've written a lot of songs, you've got a lot of cool stories that go with them.
Thank you, yes.
I've been looking since then at some of the stuff you've been up to. For example, just last month, you posted what looks like a recent picture with Sir Elton John. Now, where was that taken?
Oh, that was at Craig's Restaurant in Los Angeles, one of my favorites. Elton and I go back, of course. We have been friends for a long time. He is responsible for my comeback in 1975, and I met Elton at a Bee Gees concert. I was very friendly with Morris Gibb, and he bought my records as a kid in England, and he was a big fan, and he was starting Rocket Records in the mid-70s. And he asked me to join the label, and because of that, I had a remarkable comeback with an album called Sadaka's Back and Laughter in the Rain. So I owe a lot to Sir Elton. Then we had an album called The Hungry Years, and we had a duet called Bad Blood. He was gracious enough to come into the studio and sing background vocals. I had the most expensive background singer in the world at the time. Yes, it was quite something. My first record career was 1958 to 63, and I was more or less a voice on the radio. The second career, 75 to 80, was television. I was on the Carol Burnett and Sonny and Cher and the Osmonds, so people saw a face with the voice.
And you had some TV specials, too, with Bette Midler and David Brenner. Do you remember that one?
How did you find that? My goodness.
It's great watching you with those guys.
Well, it was very exciting. They asked me to do a special on NBC, was it? Yes. And it was the American dream. And when we did that special, it showed another side of Neil Sadaka, Solitaire and The Hungry Years, and so many different kinds of songs. I mean, I wouldn't be here if not for Calendar Girl, and Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, but I'm singing more than 60 years and writing about 65 years now. And in those days, there were not that many who could sing and write.
Right.
And my first professional engagement was with Tom Moffat in Hawaii. I think it was 1958. There were no high-rises in Hawaii. They were all little shacks. And I stayed at the Hawaiian Village. Oh, we saw Don Ho, and he always got me up to sing. I was there during the beginning of rock and roll, lucky enough to start with Buddy Holly and Roy Orbison and Elvis Presley and Sam Cooke.
Mentioning Buddy Holly, did you ever get to meet Buddy Holly?
No, I didn't, unfortunately, okay. But I met Ritchie Valens. We did the Buddy Dean Show in Baltimore. It was like the Dick Clark version in Baltimore, Maryland. And, you know, Dick Clark did discover me. He put me on
American Bandstand?
American Bandstand, the very start of the career. You know, it was a thrill. I used to run home from school in Brooklyn, New York to watch American Bandstand, and here I was on it. It was quite incredible.
Do you still remember when he helped break your career? Can you tell any of that story?
I think it was O'Carroll. No, he had a Beechnut show on Saturday night, and I did a terrible song. I didn't write only great songs. I had a terrible song called Ring of Rock and Music. And for some reason, he liked it, and he put me on as an unknown. He was a great guy. And he really gave me the break. He gave me the break. And then I did the Ed Sullivan Show. I was from the Brill Building in New York, so we were taught to write very hummable, singable songs that stayed in your brain, catchy. They had hooks. And then I was the king of the doobie-doos and the tra-la-las. I had a group of top 10 records, and they all had doobie-doos and tra-la-las. Actually, when Howie Greenfield and I ran out of lyrics, we would put in a doobie-doo, and I kept it in the recording, so it became a Neil Sedaka trademark.
I was watching the Shindig TV show, the same one that had Tina Turner, Righteous Brothers, a few others, and when you came on, you had a huge production, all these different people dancing, this giant apparatus behind you, if you recall that.
Yes, it wasn't my production, it was theirs. I did all of those shows, and they had dances and lighting and what have you. I miss those days of variety television. They were a lot of fun.
You know what's cool also is you wrote a song that in the modern United States, it really stands out so differently, the song The Immigrant. And it seems so foreign now with lines like, it was a time when strangers were welcome here.
Well, I have to give credit also to Phil Cody, who wrote the song with me. We were both from immigrant people. And the song has become more relevant today than ever.
Right.
CNN and MSNBC said they were going to play some of it. I don't think Fox News will play it. But yes, I was very proud of the record. It was the follow-up to Laughter in the Rain. I had Love Will Keep Us Together in the can, and I decided on The Immigrant because it was probably the most controversial song I ever wrote. And it was about New York being a melting pot of different nationalities, people coming from strange lands and being accepted into the United States.
It's reflective of your background. Think of what you just said and about New York, and then think of the fact that how many other artists can say they've recorded an album in Yiddish and done music in Spanish, Italian, German, Hebrew, Japanese, Canadian, French.
Well, I'll tell you, my influence was Connie Francis, who started me off as a songwriter, and she did all the languages. I said, I'm going to be like Connie. I'm going to do all the languages, and I'm not going to do the rock and roll tours. I'm going to do the adult supper clubs. So she was my inspiration for that. Yes, I did probably every conceivable kind of album, from children's albums, as you said, to Yiddish albums. And I get emails from people from all over the world. They use a particular song for their wedding or for their bar mitzvah. Or I saw a 2.5-year-old singing Waking Up Is Hard to Do from a children's album I did. I changed the words to my songs.
I can only think of one response. Oy vey.
Oy vey is right. Oy vey. Well, my mother at the beginning, my mother and father were not pleased with the rock and roll. They had seen Elvis on television. They said, you're going to do that? And I was a concert pianist at Juilliard and had every intention of becoming a teacher and a concert pianist. And the first check came in, and my mother said, I think you should continue writing these songs.
We're blessed that you're bringing it back to Honolulu and that you shared that cool story, too, that early story with the late, great Uncle Tom Moffat. Grateful that you brought him up.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Hawaii has always been very special to me. In those days, I went there before jets, and we went from New York, and we stopped in Los Angeles, and it took umpteen hours to get there, but it was worth it.
Well, it'll be great to have you back in town, Neil, and I hope you had fun reminiscing with me today, and I really do appreciate your time.
Same here. I hope to see you soon, and thank you so much.
Mazel tov, brother.
Same here. Gesinnte Heil. Mazel im Glück. Thank you, Dave. Good to talk to you always.
Harbors open their arms to the young searching foreigner. To live in the light of the beacon of liberty. Plains and open skies, billboards would advertise. Was it anything like that when you arrived? Dreamboats carried the future to the heart of America. People were waiting in line for a place by the river. lives with his hopes and his heart set on miracles. Come to marry his fortune with a handful of promises. To find they've closed the door, they don't want him anymore. Isn't any more to go around. He once heard a legend and spoke of a mystical, magical land called America. There was a time when strangers were welcome here. Music would play, they'd tell me the days were sweet and clear. It was a sweeter tune, and there was so much room that people could come from everywhere. Would play, they'd tell me the days were sweet.